Turn with me, Titus chapter 3, verse 3 to 7, which is part 2 of the amazing salvation of God. God's salvation causes us to be amazed for eternity and causes us to be thankful to Him. Eternity causes us to live for His glory on the earth. His salvation is the means of our worship. All of us are singing today in the morning from our hearts with joy because of God's salvation. What He has done for us through His Son, Lord Jesus Christ. His salvation is the source of comfort and joy. Paul has done three great and hard missionary journeys to proclaim this truth. Even John G. Patton went to the island of cannibals and lost his wife and his child. William Carey traveled from England all the way to India to proclaim this message. God is the one who saves human beings, sinners, from their sins. That's why we worship Him. That's why we, all of us, are sitting here, because God is our Savior. When we think about many things in the world, even small things, even food, fish thali, or anything else, we will be amazed, right? Ah, wow, so nice, so delicious. Brothers and sisters, are you amazed at the salvation of God? The Paul is going to help us to be amazed at the salvation of God. We can read Titus chapter 3, verse 3 to 7. Titus chapter 3, verse 3 to 7. For we ourselves also once were foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, despicable, hating one another. But when the kindness and affection of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Not by works which we did in righteousness, but according to His mercy, through the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by His grace, we would become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. What a wonderful passage to encourage ourselves about our God, what He has done for us, especially His salvation. If you see verse 5, key verb, the Paul is stating here, He saved us. He saved us. God saved us. I told that last time, four truths that causes us to be amazed at His salvation. The first truth that causes us to be amazed at His salvation is the necessity of salvation. Total depravity. We have seen that four things of our past life that prove we need salvation, we need Savior. It is necessity. All sinners should be saved. Because our irrational mind, because of our rebellious attitude, because of our unescapable bondage by Satan, by our sins itself, by our unloving lifestyle. The second truth that we have seen, the author of salvation, God the Father. God the Father is the author of salvation. If you want to go here and there, where I will be saved? Who will save me? God the Father. That's what Paul is writing here. He saved us. He is the God who is our Father. Three things that prove God is the author of our salvation. His name, God our Savior. His actions, and also His attributes. Four attributes of God are the sources of our salvation. The first attribute of God is His kindness. The second one is His love. But today we are going to look at the third attribute of God, which is one of the sources of our salvation, is His mercy. His mercy. Look at verse 5. He says, He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy. He is explaining how we were saved, how God saved us, because He is merciful God. You can translate this phrase, not on the basis of deeds. You can translate literally, not because of deeds which we have done. The idea is, cause of our salvation is not our deeds. We need to understand, people think in the world, any people think in the world, they can go to heaven by their own works. No, what Paul is saying here, the cause is not your deeds, your good behavior, not your like social work. He's not saying that. We were not saved because of our good deeds. Even some people teach and preach that to be saved, you must have good deeds. You must fulfill the law. Even false teachers in Galatian region, they are teaching, you need Christ. Beside Him, you need some deeds. You have to fulfill the law. You have to fulfill some good behavior, good moral standards you should have to be saved. But Bible says, Isaiah 64:6 says that our righteous deeds are like filthy garments. For all of us have become like one who is unclean. And all our deeds, righteous deeds, are like filthy garments. We think like deeds are filthy garments. But Isaiah is saying here, all our righteous deeds are filthy garments. So what happens if somebody is depending on their good works, godliness, to go to heaven? No. There is no chance to those who depend on their own deeds. That's what Paul is saying here. Running an orphanage, running hospitals for free, helping the poor, giving offerings to the church, coming to the church on Sundays, and coming to Wednesday Bible study, and being honest employee in the society, and doing lot of good works, and thinking I can go to heaven based on these acts. No, you cannot go to heaven based on your godly, righteous acts. What is the source of our salvation? Look at verse 5, he says, which says, but according to His mercy. Did you see that, brothers and sisters? Not based on, not because of your righteous deeds, according to His mercy. Because of His mercy, because God is merciful, you are being saved. Because He is merciful, He saved you from your sins. The source of our salvation from our total depravity. You understood, right? Total depravity means you cannot save yourself. Somebody has to save you because you are dead in your sins. You cannot respond as a dead person to God. God has to save you. God has to save you. The reason, the source is His mercy. His mercy. Not because you are so handsome and you have many things in the world. So God is looking at people. Okay, this person is so nice. I can save this person. No. All of us sinners. God saved us because He is merciful. That's what Paul is encouraging us. Reminding us who God is. Who God is. That God's mercy is compassion. It is a concern expressed for someone in need. Kindness, goodness toward the miserable and afflicted people. Like, no, having good concern towards those who are in miserable and distress. Who are miserable in the world? You and me. Sinners. All human beings are in miserable situation. I am not talking about financial crisis. I am not talking about other health issues. I am talking about all sinners who are in miserable situation and dangerous condition. But God, He wants to show concern, kindness, and help them come out of it. Do you know manhole accidents anytime? Manhole, you know that? Manhole means children will fall in the manhole, drainage, that manhole, right? When they don't cover the gap to manhole. What will happen? Child will go down. Will that child escape by himself? That child is in miserable situation. The child cannot understand. The child cannot think himself that he can save himself. But somebody like you has to see and call ambulance, call police people, call panchayati people. They will come and collect and try to help that person to come out of it. If somebody has done like that, if anything happened in history like that, that is called mercy. That is called mercy. Like helping, showing concern to come out of that miserable situation. So dangerous situation. God is merciful. He has done same thing to us. He had kindness, goodwill, concern for those who are miserable and afflicted because of total depravity. All of us needed salvation from our sins and captivity by Satan because of our sins. God understood this, showed concern, compassion, and had great desire to release you from that bondage. That's what Paul is saying here, helping you to come out of that dangerous situation. Brothers and sisters, don't keep this attribute in the last, but in the first line. It is as important as other attributes of God. He released us from that captivity. He has sent his son and saved us because God is merciful. That is the reason why we sing and sang, "Wonderful, Merciful Savior." You know that song? "Wonderful, Merciful Savior." I cannot save myself. God, you saved us. That's why you are merciful Savior. You showed mercy on us. What a great attribute. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They have, but Paul is exalting who is God here. God is merciful, so you are sitting here. You are singing to him. You are praising him. The fourth attribute of God, which is the one of the sources of our salvation, is his grace. But we are moving little ahead. We will come back to verse 5 and 6, but I want to focus on God's attribute. The fourth attribute of God that is found in verse 7. Please look at verse 7. So that being justified by his grace, we will explain what does it mean, but here I can see that God's grace, by his grace, God is gracious. Grace is the unmerited favor of God, which is freely given to sinners. That is the simple meaning. Unmerited favor of God, which is freely given to sinners. We won't deserve it, but he gave it to us freely. That is the simple idea, simple meaning. To understand that, I want to tell one real incident. There was a poor Christian brother. When he was a bachelor, he used to serve in the church faithfully. He was studying and he got small job like that. And his mommy daddy was searching a girl for him for the marriage. Then they're searching. By somehow he got a rich wife from rich family. He got rich father-in-law. So what happened? He was struggling a lot to support his studies even itself. But what happened, no? The God provided him that family. Now let me listen. He told me directly in the youth meeting. I am telling that story. He did not spend a single rupee on his wedding except for his clothing. Like, no? Suit, something else. His father-in-law did everything. Probably more than 15 goats were slaughtered for feast at that wedding. Then all the expenses father-in-law bore. He put everything. Then he said in the youth meeting, that brother, I did not deserve anything, whatever I received. This is called grace. He deserves a poor Christian woman, simple marriage ceremony, but he was favored by his father-in-law. Everything he received freely, his father-in-law is gracious to him. That God has done with us in the same way. We won't deserve any good things from him, brothers and sisters. Everything he has done, we deserve eternal hell. But he gave us eternal fellowship, eternal life he gave. We deserve his wrath, but he gave us the right to become his sons and daughters. Do you know he is preparing place for us to stay with him through Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus is preparing place, right? God the Father, he told his son, preparing the act, like, no, making place for us. The God is preparing for us place even through Lord Jesus Christ. We won't deserve anything, brothers and sisters, because God is gracious. He's giving everything. That helps us to understand who is the author of our salvation. God has kindness. God has love. God has mercy. God has grace. That's why he saved us. Not because of our deeds. Not because of our righteous behavior. Just we are wretched sinners like Paul. And every one of us are sinners. Just he is amazing God. Wonderful God. Who saved us. That helps us to move on to third truth that causes us to be amazed at the salvation of God. The third truth is the means of salvation. The means of salvation. In this passage, verse 5, part B, Paul is explaining how God saved us. What is the means to be saved? Look at verse 5, part B. By the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. Did you see that word by? The by is referring means how God saved us. How he saved us? The work of God, the Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit. The two saving works of the Spirit in us, we can see. The first saving work of the Spirit in us is, listen carefully, he cleansed us spiritually by his power. He cleansed us spiritually by his power. Which says the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. Look at the word, the washing. The washing literally means bathing, right? Simple idea, bathing. The word washing is used here figuratively. It is not like literal bathing and washing, pouring out water on you. It is not talking about water baptism. It is not talking about infant baptism. It is talking about spiritual cleansing. The Holy Spirit cleansed us spiritually. That is called, Paul is talking figuratively. This is freeing from sin. It is a spiritual cleansing. The saving work of the Spirit is freeing us from sin legally, positionally before God. It is called positional or legal cleansing. So you are not doing any work here. You are not cleansing any by yourself. Just the God, the Holy Spirit, is cleansing you. He is washing you. He is cleaning up you legally, positionally. He is declaring in front of the God, the Father, then this person is sanctified. This person is eligible to stand in the presence of God. That's what Paul is talking about, washing. The washing which is produced by, the idea is regeneration. And renewing, which is done by the Holy Spirit. This truth demonstrates the power of the Spirit. Did you see that? The Holy Spirit is working in our hearts and he is cleansing us. Cleansing us without our permission, without our effort. Even 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 says, where Paul talks about washing, such was some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Did you see that? A sinner must be washed, cleansed, freed from sin before God, before God declares him as righteous man. The Spirit cleanses sinners spiritually. Two similar actions that he did to cleanse us spiritually. The first action that he did to cleanse us to spiritually is he gave us a new birth. He gave us new birth. Look at verse 5. Washing of regeneration. The idea is, Greek idea is, regeneration produces spiritual cleansing. There is not so much time gap between washing and regeneration. Don't ask me what is the time between washing and regeneration. Regeneration produces washing, but it happens at a time. At a time it will happen. That's what Paul is saying. According to the Greek grammar, like washing is produced by regeneration of the Holy Spirit. He gives new birth to sinners who are dead spiritually. The Holy Spirit works directly on the heart of person to change that person's heart, to give life, to change spiritual condition, which is called like new birth, new birth. John Gospel chapter 3 verse 5, Jesus says, right? Jesus answered, says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. It is compulsory to enter the kingdom of God. To enter kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit has to give new birth. That's why he is called the Savior. The Savior, the one who gives new birth. And John 1:13 also says, you are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Even regeneration is by grace, not by works. Not by works. How does it happen? How one person will be born again? I can give two examples. Acts chapter 16 verse 14. You can see that how God gives new birth. We can see that picture here. Exactly we don't know, but we can see some picture. Acts chapter 16, 14. A woman named Lydia from city of Thyatira, seller of purple fabrics, worshipper of God, was listening. The Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. Did you see that word? Opened her heart. Refers to regeneration, new birth. Lord opens her heart. Before, her heart was closed, not able to understand what Paul is saying. Even it is applies to us also. We were listening many times. We were listening many times the gospel, but we were not responding to that through your mommy, daddy. Even though the children born in Christian family, they were listening gospel. They are listening gospel, but they won't respond. They sit and go. If you ask, what are you thinking about Jesus? Yeah, I'm thinking I know he's Jesus, but I have some doubts. Did you see that? But at the baptism, you can see. What they will do? Just crying, Lord, saved me. He is my Lord. I was wandering from the truth. I was not listening to my mommy, daddy. Did you hear those kind of words? You listen. We heard many times in our church also, right? How it happens? The Lord opened. Lord opened. Nobody should take credit for that. Just we are instrument. Just we are instrument, preachers, our mommy, daddy, our Christian brothers, uncles, aunties, they are just instrument. The Lord opened her heart. That shows in that way it happens. Another example I want to give, but it is not exactly talking about the new generation, but there is an idea here. Example of prodigal son. Luke 15, 17 to 20. It says, but when he came to his senses, before he was fighting, give me my assets. I don't want anything. I want my property. I don't want you. Father, I don't want you. You are all my property. I want to go. I want to enjoy my life. I want to experience all the pleasures of the world. What happened? He has taken. He went. What happened? He spent all his money. And he is willing to eat the pig's feed, right? This person has so much at his father's house, but he left everything. But what happened suddenly was 17, when he came to his senses. How it happened? God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit who does those work. Giving birth giving birth. Brothers and sisters, God the Spirit alone works. The sinners has no part of it. Paul called it a miracle of Spirit in Galatians 3:5. It is a miracle. How it happened? I don't know. It is a miracle. Do you believe virgin birth is miracle? Brothers and sisters, this is also miracle. We think no, right? Like no, sending demons from people and healing from leg pain and BB, sugar and thyroid, God healed me. We think those things are miracles, right? Jumping around and shouting, "Lord, God is so gracious. He has done miracle. I got car, I got job." But think about this miracle. Regeneration, giving new birth. Paul called it as miracle in Galatians 3:5. This refers to giving life to a dead man. The second similar action that he did to cleanse us spiritually is he made us a new creation. Not only he gave us new birth, and also he made us a new creation. Verse 5, renewing by the Holy Spirit. The meaning of the word renewal is renovation, complete change for the better. It refers to transformation which follows the new birth. This is the action by which a person becomes completely new. To cause something to become new, different. Old is gone. I am talking about spiritually, positionally. You are new creation in the Lord because of the Holy Spirit. Do you know fact about caterpillar? You know, caterpillar becomes a butterfly. Do you imagine how caterpillar becomes butterfly? How butterfly comes from caterpillar? That is called transformation. Don't ask questions. It happens. It is example, right? In creation also we can see complete change. Did you call caterpillar, oh butterfly? Did you call? Are you calling that? No, you call caterpillar. But one, it changes butterfly. You will tell your kids, see butterfly. That is called transformation, complete change, new person, old is gone. No more caterpillar, butterfly. The Lord Jesus Christ has done through God the Spirit like this. Renewing, making you new. After that, what happened? No, cleansing happened. The renewing produced cleansing. Spiritual cleansing of the Spirit happened in us as a result of giving us birth and making us new creation. Brothers and sisters, the new birth, a new life that we have because of the Spirit, God the Spirit. Worship Him. Adore Him. See, sometimes we always worship God the Father. See, I am not party of God the Holy Spirit. I am supporting triune God. Worship God the Holy Spirit. Are you worshiping God the Holy Spirit? Are you giving credits to Him? God the Holy Spirit, because of you, I got new birth. Because of you, I became new person. I'm telling you, brothers, from my heart, He was insulted by many false teachers. They won't adore Him. They will insult Him. But you, as a believer, you should give honor to Him. Without Him, you cannot sit here. He gave new birth. He renewed your inner being. He's the one. Even He was neglected by even believers. Don't do that. Honor triune God. Worship Him. Thank Him. While you are reading scripture, if something about the Holy Spirit, just you don't think anything else. Just worship God the Spirit. The second saving work of the Spirit in us is He blessed us richly through our Savior. Not only He cleansed us through His power, He blessed us richly through our Savior. Look at verse 6, which says, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So through Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father poured out upon us richly. Paul was not satisfied with above works of the Spirit. He wanted to tell other saving works, other ministries of the Holy Spirit. Not only he gave new birth, not only he gave, made you a new person, but he poured out richly upon you the Holy Spirit. The poured out is caused to fully experience. That is the idea in Greek. The poured out means caused to fully experience. What Paul is saying is so amazing. God caused us to experience his blessings fully. The idea is we experience all his services, all his gifts, all his blessings, especially heavenly blessings. We received all the services and blessings from God. God the Spirit, because of God the Father, through God the Son. That is the idea in this verse, verse 6. The idea is blessings and services that overflow upon us from the Spirit through Jesus Christ. Look at the phrase, brothers and sisters. Please look at the phrase in verse 6. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. The Greek idea is agency. By Jesus Christ, because of Jesus Christ, who is our Savior, the third person in Trinity is able to bless us, serve us. He cannot serve anybody, he cannot bless anybody if someone is going directly to him without Jesus Christ. You know that? He is reminding us. Jesus Christ is the mediator to all the blessings, all heavenly blessings. If you go without him, you will receive nothing. Very clearly stated here. So all the blessings that the Holy Spirit gives to us through Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. He is the agent. He is the person who tells the Holy Spirit, pour all the services, blessings upon my people, whom I gave my life on the cross. That's what a great truth, right? What a great truth. What a great truth. Jesus has sent him to give new birth, renewal, because he is our Savior. Think about it. Jesus is our Savior. He has done saving work as a result of the Holy Spirit can apply the redemption work in us. God is the Savior. God the Son is the Savior. The Holy Spirit is the Savior. Did you see that? The triune God working for us. Triune God is working for us. The ways that we are blessed by the Spirit. We can go through it. Just I can read for you how the Holy Spirit blesses us. He dwells in us. Did you see that? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 16. You don't need to see that. I can read for you. He dwells in us. Not only giving new birth and making us new, and he dwells in us. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? 1 John 4:13. By this we know that we abide in him and he is in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in us, dwells in the believer. If your MLA comes to your house, visit you and have coffee with you, how many people you tell? Will you tell? MLA came, Prime Minister, I know Prime Minister, I had coffee with him. If I call him, he will lift. Even secretary, no, the PA will answer to me if I call, because I know MLA. He visited me. He came to my home many times. I think one hotel is saying about the chief minister visited our hotel many times. Those are okay, good. I'm not saying those are not small things. Those are big things, actually. What about God the Spirit? The God of universe, he is dwelling in you. He's dwelling in you. What a great blessing. What a great blessing. But I won't understand. People won't read and meditate on this truth. Just they think about the Holy Spirit is only healing. Pushing people, kicking people. And telling that everything, every drama is happening because of the Holy Spirit. Cursed are those who speak against Holy Spirit. He has done this work. He is doing these works. He is dwelling in us. He is dwelling in us. That is a great miracle. That is a great miracle. Don't underestimate this act of the Holy Spirit. That's why it says, poured out upon you, richly. It is not small way, like no little bit. Like no, if sometimes if you go, no, poor people, have, they give little dal, like me, right? So what happens? God is not like that. Richly he poured out all the blessings, all the service through the God the Spirit. God the Spirit, he dwells in us. The second way he blessed us, we were blessed by the Holy Spirit, is he guarantees our salvation. 2 Corinthians 1:22. God, who is also sealed us, gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. 2 Corinthians 5:5. God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. We were sealed, got the Spirit given as a pledge. Like, no, similar to engagement ring. A boy gives to a ring to, engagement ring to a girl, that is a promise. I will come and I will marry you. So we are secure because of the Holy Spirit. Not only that, the third way we are being served by the Spirit is he guides us into the truth. John 16, 12 to 13, he will teach all the truth to us. The fourth way that we are being served by the Spirit is he will give life to our dead bodies even. After your death also, you lose all your body, right? Everything will become decay, right? The worms are eating your body, right? So what will happen? The Holy Spirit does not forget your body. He will come and give you life. Come, it will come. He is the God. He poured out all the blessings upon us. Remember, through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. You want to experience all these blessings from the Holy Spirit? Run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. He is the way. He is the way to all the sources, all the blessings, heavenly blessings. That leads us, we are running time, we are fourth truth that causes us to be amazed at the salvation of God, the purpose of salvation. So just say with me, the four truths. First truth is necessity of salvation, the author of salvation, the third one, means of salvation, the fourth one, the purpose of salvation. You may ask me, Vijay, why he is saving? What is the purpose? Paul is answering here. Do you know why he saved you? Look at verse 7. So that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. To make us his sons and daughters. That is the purpose of saving us. That is the purpose of giving new birth, making us new creature, to make us his sons and daughters. The so that refers to the purpose. Paul answers the question, why did he save us? God saved us for this purpose, for this aim, for this goal. Sometimes people do actions, they do some work. Why you are doing? I don't know, I forgot. God is saving with the purpose. What is the purpose? To make you his son and daughter. Son and daughter. Three things concerning his heirs. The first thing concerning his heirs is the qualification to become his heirs. Paul is saying here. It says, we are being justified by his grace. The qualification is we must be justified by grace. God declares sinner as righteous before him by his grace, not because of our good works. By his grace he declares, this person is justified because I love this person, I have chosen this person before the foundation of the world, and I poured out all my blessings to save him so that he can become my son, my daughter. The qualification is that person should be justified by his grace. If someone is justified by his own works, he is not qualified to be heirs of God. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. I don't know. I am not escaping from Lord Jesus Christ. any act of the Holy Spirit, if I'm saying any act of God the Father, I am explaining through Lord Jesus Christ. What happened? The means of our justification is the redemption of Christ. Redemption of Christ. Through saving works of the Holy Spirit, according to this passage, through Lord Jesus Christ, we are justified. That is the qualification. The second thing concerning his heirs is the privileges of being his heirs. The privileges of being his sons and daughters. The word heir is one who receives his allotted possession by right of sonship. All of us received our possession, will receive our possessions from God by being his sons and daughters. We are adopted sons and daughters of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have given you some privileges of being his heirs. You are fellow heirs with Abraham. Galatians 3:29. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise. You are fellow heirs with Christ himself. Romans 8:17, you can read. You will receive a great inheritance. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Verse 4. To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. You know you have inheritance in heaven? Focusing on inheritance on the earth, we said Jesus Christ, on the earth is sin. But there God gives, richly he gives even inheritance as heirs. The fourth one, you rule the kingdom with Jesus Christ. Do you know that in millennium, 10,000 years on the earth, we are ruling with him. That was the privilege we have. Because God made us his sons and daughters. So think about it. God saved you to make his sons and daughters. Result of it, you are ruling with Christ. What a great privilege. What a great privilege we have. James 2:5, listen, my beloved brethren. Did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in the faith, heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? What a privilege. We were enemies of God, slaves, enslaved to our sinful desires and passions. And we hate God, we hate people. But what God has done here, he made us his sons and daughters. For that, he saved us. It is like you are going to orphanage. You are choosing one person, that child to be your son. And after that, what will happen? Whatever you have, that person will receive, right? That orphanage and that person, miserable person, miserable child, can become CEO of your company. Do you think in that way? Orphan, he is not son, he is not qualified, but what God has done, taking orphans from orphanage and making them CEOs, rulers with him, with his son. What a great truth we are listening, right? That's why I put the amazing salvation of God. This is amazing salvation of God. This is not general salvation of God. This is amazing salvation of God. So merciful, so loving, so grace. That's why he gave four attributes of God in this passage, right? The third thing concerning his heirs is the standard to become his heirs. Look at verse 7, part B. According to the hope of eternal life. If you have eternal life, eternal life will produce hope. According to, in that standard, you will become his heirs. We have seen, right? Amazing salvation of God. We have seen four truths that causes us to be amazed at his salvation. The necessity of salvation, the author of salvation, the means of salvation, the purpose of salvation, to make you his sons and daughters. Seek and Bell understood the amazing salvation of God. Do you know who is the first missionary to India? So many people say that is William Carey. No. Before William Carey has come to India, Seek and Bell కేమ్ టు ఇండియా, చెన్నై తమిళనాడు. ఫస్ట్ మిషనరీ హూ కేమ్ టు ఇండియా ఫ్రమ్ జర్మనీ అండ్ ట్రాన్స్లేటెడ్ ది బైబిల్ ఇన్ టు తమిళ్. హిజ్ వర్క్ వాజ్ అపోజ్డ్ బై హిందూ కమ్యూనిటీ, బై లోకల్ డానిష్ అథారిటీస్. సీగెన్బర్గ్ స్పెండ్ 4 months ఇన్ ప్రిజన్ బికాస్ హీ వాజ్ బ్లేమ్డ్. He was guilty because he is converting native people. This Danish authorities does not like the work of Siegenbald. He suffered because of climatic condition in India. You can see, I quoted what he wrote about condition. Even I stayed in Tiruttani. It was almost little hell. I was not sleeping in the night. 3 o'clock, when cool weather comes, I was sleeping. Meanwhile, sorry to say that I am not able to keep my clothes, remove clothes and sleep with short, because very hot. That is right. I can agree with him. He is not saying some namke waste general fact. I experienced it. It is true what he wrote. See, my skin was like a red cloth. The heat here is very great, especially during April, May, June. Even Pastor Sammy knows that. So, second witness. In which season, the wind blows from the island so strongly that it seems as the heat comes straight out of oven. It is true. Siegenbald was troubled by ill health entire his life, a condition that he became worse by his work in his mission field. His last 13 years was spent in mission field. He died on 23rd February 1719 at the age of 36. What is your age? Don't tell me. But he died at the age of 36 for the Lord. That means he came to India at the age of 23, right? If I am right in maths. He completed entire New Testament and Genesis to Ruth. But he died. He went with the Lord, right? Otherwise, he would have completed remaining Bible also. Godly men named their children after his name, right? Like Jacob brother, Jacobu brother, Siegenbald. Well, because he understood this man came to us, preached the gospel. Because of his hard work and suffering, I became Christian somehow through his ministry. He preached and wrote, translated about the amazing Savior. Do you have this amazing Savior? Praise God. No one like you on the earth. Because what a great privilege you have. You have Savior himself with you, who saved you because of his all mercy and grace. If you are thinking here, sitting here and there and playing with him, okay, I will think tomorrow, I will think day after tomorrow, I won't give my heart to him. Please read this scripture. Understand what an amazing Savior we have. Do you want him, brothers and sisters? If you have him, you are a privileged person because of his mercy and grace. Let's pray and worship the Lord. God the Father, just we adore you, Lord, this time. What a great God. Just you saved us by your mercy and grace, kindness, love. Thank you, Lord, for making us your sons and daughters. Lord, help us to value what you have done for us through your Son, through the Holy Spirit. Thank you so much for saving us and giving a place in heaven, Lord, even though we were sinners and we are rebellious people. Lord, help us, Lord, to remember this truth and have confidence in you, Lord. Whatever happens in our life, Lord, I pray for Cornerstone Community Church, Lord, our people. Lord, help them, Lord, to meditate on you, to hope in you, to love you, to have courage in you, Lord, because you are amazing Savior. Bless this church. Bless each and every one of us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray.